Hi, Stacey Vanek Smith here. Today's show is a rerun. David Kestenbaum reported it for us back in 2014. It's about a country that tried to make good on a whole lot of bad things that happened during the financial crisis. That place, Iceland. Here's the show.
There's this idea that dates back at least to biblical times. The idea is that there should be a moment when debts are forgiven. It's called the Jubilee. You used to owe this money, now you don't. The way the Bible describes it, the Jubilee was a big deal. It was supposed to happen every 50 years or so. Apparently a trumpet, a ram's horn was blown, and there would be this release from debt. In Deuteronomy, the Jubilee is described thusly: every creditor that lendeth unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. The idea was that debt is something that can enslave you, and every so often it was best to just wipe the slate clean. The Jubilee has not gotten a lot of traction in the modern world. You may remember after the financial crisis, some of the Occupy Wall Street protesters were calling for a Jubilee. But basically, it ended there. Today on the show, we have a story about a country that is actually trying it, trying a Jubilee. It's Iceland. Hello, and welcome to Planet Money. I'm David Kestenbaum. What happens when you just wipe debt clean?
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from Goldman Sachs. Get insights from some of the world's leading thinkers on markets, industries, and the global economy on the firm's podcast, Exchanges at Goldman Sachs. You'll hear discussions on topics with far-reaching implications like climate change, autonomous driving, the future of China's economic growth, plus much more. That's Exchanges at Goldman Sachs, available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play, and at gs.com/podcast.
Hedda Dora Jonsdottir got into debt the way most people do. She bought something she loved that she didn't have the money for, a small wooden house in Reykjavik.
I really liked the place because it had such a homey feel. I mean, the floors were wooden and everything was kind of like old style, the windows, and it was quite cute somehow.
You may remember Hedda from one of our earlier Iceland shows. She's got a little boy named Oscar. When I visited a few years ago, it was cold. She was bundling little Oscar up so that he could sleep outside in this big stroller. That's a thing people do in Iceland. You can just leave your kid outside and pop into a cafe. I met Hedda through our former intern, Baldur Hiddensen, a tall guy who wore crazy sneakers, PhD in math, but also did some DJing at clubs. Like Hedda, he also took on a bunch of debt to buy his place. An apartment downtown, not far from the old harbor. I asked him to walk out on the balcony and describe the view.
There's a Domino's Pizza and there's a 7-Eleven kind of store.
Does it have a view of a volcano?
No, but there are like two little holes in between the big houses where I can see the ocean. And you know, if you follow things closely, you can even see a ship sailing into Reykjavik.
So you have an ocean view?
I have an ocean view.
Two people, two mortgages, two piles of debt. In any other country, they would be expected to pay that debt back. There would be no chance of a Jubilee. But Iceland is this place that does everything a little differently. Everything is a little more intense there. You're up close to the Arctic Circle, but the island is volcanic, so there's all these lava fields. And economically, it's also an unusual place. For instance, when the financial crisis mess, whatever you want to call it happened in a big way there. Three giant banks went under, almost took the entire economy with them. And something particularly horrifying happened to people's mortgages. In Iceland, a lot of people have these odd adjustable mortgages. They adjust with inflation. On a tiny island, inflation can be a problem. So that's how they deal with it. And when the financial crisis happened, there was a lot of inflation in Iceland. The amount people owed on their mortgages went through the roof. I asked Hedda to look up the numbers from what happened to hers.
I haven't gone over these numbers at all because it's with other things depressing. It's not a good idea to waste too much time always wallowing in it.
Hedda kept getting these statements saying she owed more and more. And let me just be clear, I don't mean that she just owed more that month. The total amount she owed to the bank went up by 30%. It's like if you borrowed $100,000 for your house, all of a sudden you owed $130,000.
It's kind of like you are drowning. That's the feeling, that you are trying to keep your head above water, but what's happening is that you are just going deeper under.
After the crisis, inflation went back down in Iceland, so the mortgages didn't keep growing at that crazy rate. But people were stuck with much larger mortgages than they'd started with. It was this wound that just did not go away. And people did not forget about this. So in 2013, 5 years after the financial crisis, when Iceland's Progressive Party found itself with very low poll numbers, it proposed the Jubilee. Though it didn't call it that.
They call it the correctment. Yeah, like the correction.
The correction.
Like there was something, you know, wrongly calculated and they need to correct it.
Yes, that's kind of how they frame it.
Yeah, or just putting it right. They want to put things right. That's how they frame it.
Say it in Icelandic.
Leiðréttingin.
One more time.
Leiðréttingin.
The Progressive Party was promising to go back and correct everyone's mortgages, basically forgive the additional debt that everyone had built up during the crisis, during those 2 years, 2008 and 2009. It's a beautiful idea that you could go back in time and try to undo this one very painful part of the financial crisis, make it like it had never happened. I asked if there was something Icelandic about this idea of going back and fixing the past, something from the stories of the Viking days, from the old sagas.
No, not really. Usually in the sagas, you just dream about what's going to happen in the future.
Some revenge, maybe. The sagas were all about revenge.
No, I would say usually the Icelandic thing is just, you know, put your head down and keep going. But, you know.
Power through.
Yeah, power through it. So this is something really new.
Maybe for that reason, its very un-Icelandicness, the Jubilee proposal was very popular. Olafur Arnason is an author and economic thinker. He was one of the people out making the case for the Jubilee.
I remember one rally. This was in February, something like that, February, March. And, you know, during the winter, it's very dark here in Iceland. And this was in the evening, in the middle of the week, in the east of the country. And people drove 150 miles to come to this rally. They completely filled the auditorium. The meeting lasted till something like 11:30, and then they had 3 hours drive back and to show up for work the next morning. This was very important to people, and they were really, really passionate about it.
One obstacle to trying out a Jubilee, to forgiving debt, is that there's always someone on the other side. There's someone who lent the money. But there was a plan to make even this part feel painless. The money to pay for the Jubilee would come from a tax on those three dead Icelandic banks, banks that many people in Iceland blame for their financial crisis. Today, most of what remains of the banks is owned by hedge funds and foreign investors. So it would be money coming from hedge funds and foreign investors going to pay off the debts of ordinary people like Baldur and Hidda. When Olafur was out making the case at those political rallies, he told people this was the right thing to do.
It's a recognition, it's a moral recognition that things happened here that were beyond the control of the average people, and the government is showing an effort to recognize that.
The Jubilee became the focus of the entire election. The Progressive Party ran on it and won. This is the scene last April when the election results started to come in at a hotel in Reykjavik where supporters had gathered. Green balloons, everyone clapping in unison. And looking at this moment, it seems so perfect. Iceland had an ideal setup to try out this very old idea of a Jubilee. You got a clearly defined chunk of debt to forgive that people all across the country have, mortgages. And you have a source of what feels like free money to pay for it, those dead banks. There was a lot of math, a lot of details about how it would all work. But just a couple weeks ago, it was all finalized. Hidda went online to see how much debt she was going to have forgiven, how much she was going to get from the Jubilee.
Yes, okay. So what we're going to do is we are going to go into the Directorate of Internal Revenue and find out how they are going to amend my mortgage. I'm a tier.
Yeah,
it says welcome, and here is the results. So it is a little over one and a half million.
1.5 million Icelandic krona. It's about $12,000. Now, if you think of a Jubilee, maybe you think of a party, people dancing in the streets. And if someone just knocked $12,000 off my mortgage, I'd be really happy. There were plenty of happy people in Iceland. One person tweeted, finally, finally, and another, everything will be corrected today. Hedda, though, for her part, she was pretty subdued.
I don't know if I'm really skeptical or if I'm not distrusting, but if I see the money in some form, then I will be quite happy, of course. But until then, this is still just kind of an idea of money that might come in some form over some period of time.
So that's how crazy it seems, that you don't actually believe it till you actually get it.
Yeah.
Balder?
Yeah?
How much money are you getting?
Nil. Nothing.
This is the other reason Hitta was not celebrating the Jubilee. Her friend Balder also has a mortgage, that apartment where he can kind of see the ocean from the balcony, but he bought it just after the cutoff for the Jubilee. On paper, a Jubilee is this nice, simple idea, but in practice, it's complicated. You can't forgive all debt. So what debt exactly are you going to forgive? You got to pick. And whatever you pick, there are going to be Hiddas and Balders, people who benefit from the Jubilee, living next to people who get nothing. Balder?
Yeah?
How does it feel not to be getting any money?
It doesn't feel great not getting any money. I mean, I had a student loan during that period, and that went up like crazy, and they're not... I don't see why they, if they're doing this for mortgages, why don't they do this for student loans as well? Mm-hmm. So I mean, I'm happy for Heida that she's getting it, but the overall thing, it feels very unfair.
The Jubilee leaves out people like Balder, and people who arguably need help the most, people who didn't have enough money to buy a house. They were hurt by the financial crisis, but they're not getting anything here. That's the way this Jubilee works. If you didn't have a mortgage, you don't get anything. The Icelandic media have run stories about some of the weird consequences of the Jubilee. There's one guy who sold his house for more money than he bought it. He made money on his house, but he's still going to be getting a check from the Jubilee. He says he doesn't need it. Some people have said they're going to give their money to charity. I talked to Gylfi Magnusson. He's an economist at the University of Iceland. He's got a mortgage and 5 kids, but he thinks the Jubilee is a bad idea. The money for the Jubilee may feel like free money, he says, but it's not. Sure, it's coming from a tax the government levied on those dead banks, but he says you should think of that money just as government revenue, money the government has from taxes that it can spend on whatever it wants. It doesn't have to be a Jubilee. It could spend it on education or healthcare, something that would help a broader number of people.
You can't use government resources to put everybody back at pre-crisis income and wealth. You have to be much more selective on how you use government funds, because there are many good uses for government funds, and you can't squander them.
Are you getting any money from the Jubilee?
Yes, I will.
Can I ask how much?
The household, so that would include me and my wife, will be getting a bit over 2 million kroner, so that's about $20,000.
What are you going to do with the money?
Well, since it's not actually funds that you receive, but it's just a reduction of debt, so basically we don't do anything, we just owe less.
You're not going to donate it to charity or something? I'm not saying you should, I'm just asking.
No, I have 5 children, so I have to be frugal, even if I fundamentally or philosophically I'm not happy with this.
Is there some part of you that's happy to get the money?
Not really.
Come on, it's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. Maybe some part is happy. I don't know. I haven't thought about it in those terms since I'm not happy with the program itself.
If you're wondering if the Jubilee might stimulate the overall economy, help the Icelandic economy grow, both Gylfi and Ólafur, the guy out making the case for the Jubilee, said it's not much of a stimulus. People's overall mortgages are getting reduced. The total amount they owe is going down. But when you look at the effect on monthly payments, it's not so big. Gylfi figures his monthly payments are going to go down by about $80 a month. I think when people talk about a Jubilee, this biblical idea of wiping the slate clean, they imagine that all the troubles disappear with the debt. But it's not a magic solution. Once you get over the thrill of the idea, you realize a Jubilee is just a government policy. Some people think it's good, some people think it's bad. And on a tiny island like Iceland, It's something to have a strong opinion about and to argue about. Hida is both happy and not happy about the Jubilee. She's happy for the extra money. She's a single mom these days. But she's thought about this, and Balder has thought about it. And they've both come down on the side of thinking that the Jubilee is just a bad idea.
It's, I think, on a personal level, like if you look at each individual case, it's in many cases great that people get money, but it feels like, you know, they're doing some justice, but just the injustice is more than the justice that they're doing. The whole thing is not cool.
Is there something silly about the idea of thinking we could go back and fix something like this?
I suppose this is kind of like in the old Tsars, where people were going to do something right, but they ended up doing something kind of worse.
Mm-hmm.
As in the old Tsars, they're all about revenge, and it just kind of ends up with everybody is killing everybody.
Yeah, and then it just snowballs. So yeah. One guy kills another guy, and then he gets revenged, and then they have mm-hmm. to revenge because the other guy revenged, and mm-hmm. it's just, in the end, there's a huge bloodbath. Mm-hmm.
Come on, nobody's dying here. And Hida, you're getting money from a dead bank. How is that bad?
But David, come on, look at, it's also, okay, it's nice to go back and correct things and make everything, you know, nice. But if the government were always coming in and fixing my bad mistakes, I mean, I bought a car that turned out to be crap and I spent a lot of money on it and I'm not getting any of that money back. I mean, I'm going to learn. I'm not going to buy a crappy car again. But I don't deserve that to be corrected in any way. I mean, it's not the government's job to, you know, come in and correct things. The government should be building roads and creating a system where it's nice to live, but not, you know, not taking on private debt.
We should correct the future and not the past, right?
Yeah, create an environment that's good for the future.
There you go. You guys have a political campaign now. You can run. Correcting the future is, of course, the path that we usually take. It's an easier sell. The future is unwritten. You can dream it will be whatever you want. The past has already happened. It's complicated and surprisingly hard to fix. Oh, one more thing. We're going to end with a song that Hida just recorded. She's a musician. It's actually the first song she's recorded, and it did really well. It got played a bunch on the radio. Hida, do you want to sing something?
Not really, but if you want to play like a piece of my song, that would be super cool.
Just sing a line.
What do you want me to sing? The chorus?
Yeah, sing the chorus. Yeah, how's the chorus go?
I got your back, babe. I got your back, babe. I got your back, I got your back, I got your back, babe. I got your back, baby.
We'll put up a link to the video that goes with this song. It's really quite pretty. You get to see what Iceland looks like. Do make sure you watch to the very end. Our show today was produced by Fia Benin. Thanks, Fia. We'd love to hear what you think of today's show. You can send us email, planetmoney@npr.org. And if you're looking for other podcasts, NPR recommends checking out Ask Me Another. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm David Kestenbaum.
I'm Baldur Hiðinsson.
I'm Heiða Dóra Jónsdóttir. Thanks for listening.
Very nice. Thanks, guys.
Very good. Thank you.